And this is my life now. I do weird stuff with people I make. I used to do weird stuff with people I met in bars. Now I make people and I do weird stuff with them. Now we're living their lives for them. We're on top of them. We're taking their tests for them. We're planning their play dates. We're in their life all the time. And it's failing them. It's failing them. Kids are showing up at college. There's reports of kids showing up depressed because they don't know how to do anything. Anything. They're just like, my bed isn't made again today. Why is this happening? I used to wake up, my bed would be made, and there'd be Mickey Mouse pancakes. Now nothing. We're failing them. All their test scores globally are in the toilet. In the toilet. We kicked ass when we were little. You know why? Our parents didn't care. I'm going to school. You go to work. We'll meet here at dinner. Don't screw up. And we got our little book bags and we head out of the house like little business people. And we got stuff done. You had meetings at your lockers, you bought Cliff Notes off the black market, you forged signatures if you had to, and we were number one in the world. Number one. It's arrogance. It's arrogance of the parents to think you're so important. You're not that important. It's easy to make a kid. It's really easy. And then your job really is when they're little, stop them from waddling into traffic, electricity, or a weird uncle. That's it. That is it. Other than that, get out of their way. All the best people on the planet didn't even have their parents around. Steve Jobs was an orphan. Albert Einstein left home when he was 15. Abraham Lincoln, when he was 6 years old, cooked and ate both his parents. Yeah, little known fact, but it's true. Wasn't in the movie, but it happened. That's why he was 60 feet tall. Human bone marrow. We all show up on this planet with our personalities already intact. As soon as you're here, you're made. You're made. And you're either allowed to flower or you're stomped out by the grown-ups in your life. My kids are exactly the same as when they got here. Exactly. And I had nothing to do with it. Nothing. My little one is tough as nails. She's a back like Michael Phelps. She eats rocks. She's a killer. We're all scared of her. All family. We're at the airport. I was like, where's the luggage? She has it already. Let's go! Hurry up, she's getting in the cab. Where'd she get money? I don't know. And she was that way immediately. She came out of my wife. They put her on that little baby bread warmer shelf. She immediately started getting up like she had somewhere to go. Nurses were passing out. They never saw a baby do a push-up their first 5 seconds on the planet.
Let's get out of here.
I can't control that. I just have to watch her and hope she doesn't turn evil. It's all I can do. And the other one is smart. She's always been that way. She wants help with her homework now. I can't do it. Can't do it. Fourth grade math, I'm out. I'm out. It's fraction time. Good night. I'm out. I get nervous when the pizza guy comes. I have to do the change and the tip in the moment. I just hold up balled up money like I'm from a small town in Belgium. You need more of this? You want more? We infantilize these kids. No one talks to their kids the way we do. Are you going to put on your jammy whammies? You going to get all cuddly-wuddly on the couchy-poo? You have a big day tomorrow. You have your SATs. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Other cultures, the kids go to school and work immediately. These little Chinese kids putting together our iPhones, kicking ass over there. Seriously, they go to school for like 50 hours. They bicycle home 500 miles. They give their ancient grandparents a sponge bath, one piece of seaweed, off to the Apple factory for the night shift. And they're happy for the benefits. Our kids go to school for like 3 hours and waddle around all night looking for candy.
Gotta be some Skittles somewhere.
Every generation is smarter than the one that came before it, right? You were smarter than your parents. And these kids are with technology, it happens so much faster. So much faster. Just think about their phones. Think about the amount of pornography. they have in their pockets 24 hours a day. You know what I had to do when I was 8 years old to see a picture of a naked lady in a magazine? I had to run an underground railroad for porn. A series of meeting points and backpack drop-offs and swapping out bicycles in abandoned garages. Get it through the woods, into the house, into the basement, into the crawl space. Cuckoo! Cuckoo! We'd crawl back through the dirt with a book of matches. Ow! Could you imagine showing a Playboy to an 8-year-old now? They'd be like, no, I was into that in preschool. More into feet now.
I'm not pregnant. My wife, I haven't talked to her in an hour. You know, but we got 5 kids, and that seems like a lot. And frankly, it's too many. It is a lot, but what am I going to do now? It's not like they come with free return shipping. I love having 5 kids. I travel with them because I don't want to be away from them. And also, I enjoy the look on waitstaff's faces when I walk in with my family. Because my kids are 5, 6, 8, 11, and 13. And we walked into a restaurant in Dallas, and I saw a waitress look at me and my family and quit her job. I mean, she could have been getting off her shift. I just saw her look at us and throw down her apron and storm off. And I felt like we won. But I like being a dad, you know? I try and do one-on-one time with each of my kids, but it's hard because I travel and there's a lot of them. So sometimes that special daddy and me time is just doing something mundane, like going with me to the post office. It's like, that's right, buddy, just you and me going to find out why we got this damn slip on our door. Stick that in the memory bank. My dad always making time for me. Squeezing me into errands. I remember walking to the post office and listening to him bitch and moan about the federal government. What a guy. Try to be a good dad. I got my kids a dog. I rescued a dog. Thank you. Thank you. It's not like the dog was drowning. The dog wasn't a victim of sex trafficking. I just went in a building, gave a guy money, and got a dog. That's how I rescued it. After that, I rescued a pizza. I had to wait to rescue the dog because the dog was in Jamaica. I don't know if it was on vacation. But I rescued a dog from paradise so it could live in my crowded New York City apartment. Sometimes I put the leash on the dog and it looks at me like, I used to run on the beach. And now I sleep in a cage. My only hope is that one day you'll get rescued. But rescue is the language of today, right? And we mean adoption. Now, people don't even say they own dogs. Now people say they're a dog parent. But I feel like dogs are different from kids. Like, you never hear a parent say, you know, my son had some behavior problems, so we gave him to a friend who had a farm upstate. That way he can run around and we'll visit him on weekends. Jim, you're a monster. I'm no saint, but nobody is. Nobody even goes for saint today, right? There's no saints. Nobody's like, you know what, I'm thinking of, I'm either going to go graphic design or saint. Nobody goes for it, because, well, there are Latter-day Saints. There's Mormons. I love the Mormons. I don't know what Latter-day means. Maybe that means they're like deviant till 3 p.m. Like, well, kids are coming home. Let's get out of these S&M outfits, honey. Back in khakis. I'm talking about the traditional Catholic sense of a saint. Nobody goes for saint anymore because it's too hard. To be considered a Catholic saint, you have to perform 2 miracles. I don't know why it's 2. It's not like half of us would be like, you know, if it was 1, I'd go for it. Yeah, because I could do that thing with my elbow. It's not like 1 miracle's not impressive. You're never in a job interview unless you hear special skills, walk on water, Microsoft Word. Tell me about the Microsoft Word. Actually, where I live in New York City is where the soon-to-be first African-American saint is buried. His name was Pierre Toussaint, and he was a hairdresser. I don't even know you could be a hairdresser and a saint. But he apparently got done cutting people's hair and they were like, this is a miracle. And he was a great man, and he'll be a saint. He'll probably be the patron saint of hairdressers. You know, because saints, they're in charge of things. Like, you're in charge of hairdressers. You're in charge of lost objects. St. Patrick, you're in charge of Ireland. St. Patrick, patron saint of Ireland. Every March 17th, we honor St. Patrick by getting wasted. Right? But we don't know. We don't know. St. Patrick could be up in heaven going, I didn't even drink. What are these people doing?
Hey, who's a parent here got a kid in school having a hard time? Can't figure out what to do. I'll help you out. I'll help you out. Anybody. What's wrong? Shout it out. What are they doing? What won't he do? He won't do homework? That's easy. He ain't doing homework? Taking him one of the vacant buildings. This where you gonna live. You can't read or write. That's where you live. I'll see you tomorrow. Will you hang in there? You can't go home nowhere. You can't read the street signs. Mom! Tough love. Sometimes you gotta do tough love. We forgot. Tough love don't mean beating a child. I ain't talking about beating. Every time you talk about whooping a child, there's nothing wrong. It's wrong to whoop a child. Look, you ain't never been whooped. The whooping is psychological. Whooping don't even hurt that much as my father. Oh boy, he's doing all that noise. Oh, I'm like, okay, okay. That's why I can tell a young man doesn't have a father. You ain't never feared nobody. See, when you don't ever fear, man, you can tell a dude every night, you disrespect me. Oh, I've been disrespected most of my life. I had a father, he had no respect. Get up, I ain't dressed yet, get! You tired?
No, sir, no, sir.
You act like you tired. No, I'm just having some issues. See, as a man, if you ain't never backed down away from a man, you don't know what it's like to back off a man. You got to know when to back up. That's why these kids getting shot. You got to know when someone's more dangerous than you. And that's what fathers teach you. Oh, are you standing up to me? No, sometimes I stand up because my back. You can't fight everybody. There are certain people, and we all know, every man here knows, there's always one dude was that cat, the most dangerous. There is a most dangerous man, woman in every neighborhood that everybody goes like this. Man, he stole my bike. Just let that. And see, when a dangerous dude steal your bike, he ride by you. Get on, you want to ride? It's my bike. What? It's my bike. This is your bike? Wait, let me look at it. Oh, no, my handlebar is different. You have to know when to back up off people, man. See, every crazy people don't say they're crazy before they hurt you. People say, man, I'm crazy, man, I'll kill you. I'm crazy. Crazy people stand there. And when you have money, you go to a different kind of drug treatment center. When you have money, you go camping, and you hike, and you swim it out. You swim the crack out. You swim it out. You sit in circles. What'd you do today? We went on the mountain. I don't need drugs. I went on the mountain, and I saw birds. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. You ever been to the inner city drug rehab? What you got to say, John? I ain't got nothing to say. I ain't supposed to be here in the first place. This is court order. You know what? Before reality shows, crazy folks your family used to hide. Remember? Since reality show, you need to put me on.
I have to grow up. I have three kids. And yeah, right. Like your attitude, brother. You would think that I'd be pretty open-minded with my kid. I'm very strict. My daughter's 13, still no phone. No phone. No. No. And I don't negotiate. Why can't I? Because no. Give me a good reason. No and no. And they'll try everything with you. Well, you know, everybody in like America is 13 has a phone, Dad. Well, you don't. You're special. Be different. How exciting. I'm going to be a cow like the rest of them? No. And this is, I get more grief from parents than actually, parents would come up to you like, you know, is that true about your daughter and not having a phone? 13? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. My child came out of the womb, gave her an iPad, right? I mean, it's socialism, pal. You got it. It's where they live. All right, let me ask you this. What happens? All right, what happens if your daughter is dropped off at the bus stop early? I go, that's a great question. And she walks 50 feet to the house. Like, where's your kid getting dropped off? Is that a dilemma in America? They're dropping us off in Iowa by accident? Like, this kid's walking around a corn store. And he's like, I can't believe it. We're stuck in Iowa again. If I only had a phone. Diane, I can't see you. It's a stupid bus. I don't have a phone either. Like, what are you talking about? This is the other one I got. This guy's like, excuse me. All right. Let me ask you this, okay? Does your child play sports? Yeah, she plays, yeah, sport. Okay. Huh. What happens if your child goes to sports practice and it's done early, huh? What happens then? I go, wait, where are you dropping your kids off? What, are they stuck in a gymnasium for like a week? On? They left me here. I'm all alone and I can't get out. I can't believe this is happening. Like, how can you not know your coach? How can you not know some other teammates and have contacts? Like, what are you just showing up behind like a shopping mall where the Mexicans play soccer? You know that one field in your town where you're like, oh, that's where the Mexicans play soccer. And they're into it. They're fantastic. You know, and you're going, yeah. And you show up going, hey, amigos, my daughter wants to play. She's really good on defense, so we don't have a phone, so I'll come back in like 45 minutes. Have fun with the amigos, will you, hon? What about this one? You ever get this? All right. Your daughter doesn't have a phone. What if there's an emergency in school? All right, let's say that. All right, let's say the kid is on the floor. She's foaming at the mouth. Something happened. Maybe, I don't know, she had the wrong food. And everyone's gathering around her like, oh my gosh, a little girl. She's like, what's your name? Hey, Gabrielle. Gabrielle. Okay, well, there's nothing we can do for her because she doesn't have a phone.
My second baby is my oldest daughter, who's about to graduate from the University of Tennessee. She's 22. And let me tell y'all, I know every crow thinks theirs is the blackest, but let me say that she is a beauty. And she is smart, and she's done very well in school, and she's in a sorority and done well with her sorority, and she's athletic, and she's mean. And we're scared to death of her. We walk on eggshells around her. She's not mean to other people or in public. She holds it in so that she can come home and like spew it out onto me. That's okay. That's God's way. But this is what I think happens. When she was a junior, her summer between her junior and senior year, I think that God allows this to happen. And you little girls, that your babies aren't this old, just listen to me. All right, one day they'll just turn on you. And you'll think, who in the world is this? Who's coming down the steps in the morning? We don't know who this is. I think that God allows that because he knows that you're about to let your baby go off to college or whatever they're going to do, and he knows that you're grieving. So he makes them just as mean as he can so that you can let them go. And I believe that. That summer, the very breath that I breathed out of my nostrils made her so angry. We were not allowed to eat cereal in our own home because she couldn't stand to hear us chew. I don't mean to talk about her because she had a lot on her. She had to empty the dishwasher. Stuff like that. That's so hard. Okay, let me tell you about an example when she was probably your baby's age. Y'all's little children, because y'all are so cute. Look, their thyroid's still functioning. Y'all still got hair. Good for y'all. Y'all got on little britches. Yay. Okay. When she was in elementary school, I was so blessed that I got to take them to school and pick them up every day in my minivan. And I would watch them come out, my girls, and I saw them. They were in a good mood. I saw it. All right, they would be goosing each other and waving to all the little children and the principal. See you tomorrow. Okay. Then they come over to my minivan. Get in, slam the door. That middle woman take her backpack and sling me in the back of the head with it. She'd say every day something like, I'm starving to death. You don't have a piece of cheese in this car? Your driving's making me car sick. I hate her. Why did you have her? And the baby be sitting over the bank, she'd be going, Mom, 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 Mom. And I'd say, what? And she'd go, Mom, 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 Mom. I go, what? I'm listening. She could say some of the craziest things. She said to me one day, did Jesus ever have head lice? How do you answer that? I said, well, baby, I don't know. But if he did, I know he healed it.
I am a first-time father, a long-time listener. And just to allay any fears, I'm not going to do an hour of dad jokes, all right? I'm not just, sometimes people, yes, exactly. You can feel the tension in the room right about that point where they're like, wait, he's not going to talk about having a kid for an hour, is he? You know, and I'm not going to do that to you. One, it's boring, and two, it would make me quite a hypocrite, you know, based on a lot of the material I've done in the past. So, but you know, it has been my world for the last year. I mean, it's a wholly unique experience to me. So, of course, I've made some observations and thought of some funny things, and I'll share those. And hopefully, you won't have to have had a kid to get them and appreciate the jokes. And I'm certainly not going to tell you, you know, how amazing she is or anything like that. But she is precocious. I will say that she is precocious. She's 54 weeks old. But if you see her, you'd be like, well, how old is, what is she, 62 weeks old? You're like, no, I know. Thank you, though. No, I know. She's very mature for her age. She carries herself with I carry her, but, you know, she exudes the kind of maturity you don't often associate with 54 weeks. But, you know, it is a fascinating thing to be a part of, to watch the evolution of this thing. Because when they're born, there's nothing. There's no communication. It's nothing. It's a blob. It's not, you know, but then over time, you know, it starts to evolve. It starts to become a person, and personality traits start to exhibit themselves, and it's really fascinating. And I'm really looking forward to that big shift, you know, that happens, that big change where you finally start to love them. And that's well, hurry up with that part, please. When is it going to be worth it in any way, shape, or form, please? But I am excited to meet her. I think that's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be cool. I'm doing that thing. It's a very Brooklyn thing where you don't meet your kid for the first 7 years, you know? You keep them pure. You keep them away. So she's in a yurt in a bubble underwater, and we'll be there for 7 years. And then this way, I can't taint her with any of my straight, white, hetero, cis, normative, maleness things. And I've also decided that I'm not going to teach her to use pronouns when referring to people. Yes, no he's or she's, but everybody will be they, you know? And not necessarily so that she'll be progressive about sexual and gender identity, but so that she'll fail English. So. Oh, she said her first word the other day. That's pretty cool. That's a milestone that, you know, you can't help but be proud of. She said Pyongyang, which is pretty cool, up on current events. No, she doesn't talk, but she does that kind of monosyllabic noises, you know, a lot of just sort of like, pa, pa, ta, ta, ka, cha, sha, pa, ka, ka, you know, that kind of thing, which is really kind of cute and endearing most of the time, but really quite the opposite early in the morning when you know, she first wakes up and it's like 6:30 in the morning and I'm completely out of it and I got to change her diaper and then I got to go downstairs and you know, get the mug out of the thing and fill it with water and put it in the microwave and get the thing, you know, because I'm holding her with my left arm and her mouth is right here. It's literally right here. It's her mouth is right here and I'm doing all this stuff and you know, getting the milk ready and getting my dog's medicines and food together and doing all this stuff and it's dark and it's, again, I'm just groggy and out of it and the, you know, and I'm doing this by myself. I'm there by myself because my wife is off in, you know, LA or San Francisco or Chicago or somewhere, you know, smashing the patriarchy and the irony is, not lost on me. It's not lost on what is currently taking place. And anyway, so I'm getting all that stuff together and as I said, it's dark and the whole time I'm doing that, she's sitting there in my ear just going, pa, pa, ta, cha, 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 cha. And it's like I've got my own personalized 80s horror movie soundtrack playing, like, stop it, stop it. That's, don't do that. You're creeping me out. Stop it. I'm serious. I've got to put her down. I got to put her down. I can't put her on the floor. So, you know, I undo the oven door and set her on that. And it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. You know, if nothing else, it allows her to get a little closer to the history of her peoples, you know, and her great-grandfather built ovens. For the Nazis. Now, here's the thing. He got out. He got out, Asheville. He got out, you judgmental fuck. So don't, seriously. But we have to, her 1 year physical is coming up. We have to take her for a 1 year physical, which every one of my friends with kids, which is a lot of them, you know, have all said the same thing. And I know if you have kids, you know what I'm about to say. Just like, oh my God, it's so hard to watch them go through that. It's really difficult. It's awful, you know, because there's all these needles, because there's vaccinations. I have to draw blood. All this shit happens. Oh my God, it's so terrible to watch them go through that. It's awful. And so what I've been doing with that in mind, what I've been doing is slowly introducing her to pain. Yeah. But I'm having a clown do it, so it's fun, you know? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we are taking her in for a 1 year physical, which means obviously my wife and I have had the big discussion and we have decided to let her live. And And I'm going to drill that into her head. I'm going to tell her that repeatedly. Every day, I'm going to make sure she knows that. Because when she's like 5 years old and she's having a tantrum, I want her to be able to repeat that out loud in a public place so that she knows it. You know, and we're at the airport and we got to get on the flight and she's having a tantrum. Like, hey, 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 stop it. Hey, what did daddy tell you? What did daddy tell you? You let me live? Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Not like the others? Yeah, exactly. Now, come on, we got to get on the plane. Come on. Seriously. You want to go meet your sister or brother? I don't know. We never found out. Let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Oh, God. I got dragged to a club a little while ago. Anybody here over 35? Go to a club? Yeah. Oh, that's fun, isn't it? Go to a club. Just walk in there. You feel so creepy. You feel like you're a Chuck E. Cheese. You're like, oh, whoops. Oopsie. Oh, my God. I went to a club a little while ago, and I realized I have dad brain. I don't have kids. Why do I have dad brain? You know what I mean? You know what dad brain? Like, I see these young girls in their miniskirts. I used to be like, oh, she's so hot. And now I'm like, she's gonna freeze to death. You know? I'm not even nervous talking to these young girls anymore. Because I'm just like, just keep some sweatpants in the trunk of your car. They don't weigh anything, so it won't affect your gas mileage. I know they're hot. I still am attracted to them, but now I'm like, oh, I want to take that girl home and fix her bike. Like, I have weird... I don't want to creep out these young kids. So what do? You just stand in the corner, right, with your drink? Yeah. Wouldn't want to look creepy. I'll just... Soon, my pretties. There's no dignity in getting older at all. Like, I had to go across the dance floor to get another beer, ran out of beer. And I got caught on the dance floor because the popular song came on. All these chicks, just walls of chicks, right? And I'm sneaking through, just trying not to creep them out. I'm just looking for my daughter. Like, I'm lying, saying anything. No. But then I hit a wall of chicks. Like, now I'm like in a wall, like, nobody can move. Oh, oh. And then I look up, some asshole had put an oscillating fan in the ceiling. Yeah, so it comes around, I'm like, ooh, hits my hair, wah, straight up and down. My arms, I can't even grab it, right? I'm just, All I can do is look up at the mirror, and all it's like a sea of hot chicks and just dorsal fin on pervert shark. Just, dang it. Oh, my God. It's so bad for your self-esteem when you get close to a young girl and she covers her drink and walks away. That really feels horrible. But I was there. I got dragged there by my opener. I go back. I got my beer, finally. Go back to the table. He's not there. He's gone now. Just the girl he's talking to, right? And she's like 23 years old. And I have nothing in common with this chick. I don't know what to say to her. She goes, this is a pretty cool club, huh? And what did I think was interesting? I go, you know, this club used to be a bank. Oh, yeah. But the tellers were over there and the vault was over there. And before it was a bank, it was all trees. For the West had yet to be settled. If you have somebody, stay. Stay in the relationship. I don't care if you hate the person. Just ride it out. What do you got, 30 years left? Don't be a hero. You don't even get a girlfriend anymore. You just get a pen pal. That's it. Little ferret stenographer. Pick the phone up. Can we just talk? We evolved to talk. Just speak English. Why did technology get better and then we went back to telegrams? Why are we sending telegrams to each other? That girl sends you emojis. Emojis. Now we're back to hieroglyphics. Now we're farther back in time. Great. Why don't you use your vape pen to send me a smoke signal or some shit? I was on Tinder for a while, and I realized, oh, you're 39. John, you're on Tinder. It's like a human clearance rack at this point. It's a lot of irregulars. Everybody's got their pictures. Everybody's got their pictures, right? I saw a girl's Tinder one time, or what guys put as their pictures. They're always carrying a fish, holding a fish. How fucking archaic is that?
I got a fish. Are you hungry? I could catch more fish.
Girl, what's a girl always doing in her picture? She's always on vacation.
I love to travel. Bring your fish, we'll go traveling.
She's always touching the top of the Eiffel Tower, too. You chicks keep taking that damn picture, and it sucks. It's not funny. Nobody believes you're that tall. We know it's camera tricks. And if it does fool a guy, you don't want to date that guy because he's an idiot.
I would date this girl, but she's fucking massive. She's so big. I'm gonna need more fish.